All right, beloved, this is Revelation lesson 132. Lesson 132. All right. Get my notes situated here. All right, now tonight we're going to be looking at one verse, verse 8. And this is the judgment upon Babylon. It says, and there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the revival services that we have already had. Lord, we ask that you'll intervene and have your will and your way be accomplished inside of the services to come. And Lord, I ask now that you'll allow me to decrease and you increase. Father, touch my old mouth and my lips of clay that I may speak your truth now. Go with us, lead us and guide us, and accord us with your will. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now last night we saw details about an angel that preaches, and tonight we're going to meet one that proclaims. So let's go ahead and start off here point by point. He says, and there followed. Now that indicates sequence due to the word followed. And it also speaks of this happening in the same way and manner as it previously already had. So what did there follow? He says, another angel. Now here is another angel that is a supernatural creature, not a messenger from among men. When we couple this information with the previous information in verse 6, we find that this is the third angel flying in the midst or middle of heaven. Now what is he doing? It says, next point, saying. Now this angel here is speaking. However, he's not speaking with a loud or mighty voice. So that this is a prelude announcement or speaking of the coming doom that is so certain in God's eyes, more on that in just a moment, that it is spoken of as having already happened. Having said this, while we will note in passing references in Revelation 17 and 18, please don't think, beloved, that this angel is the same as the one in Revelation 18, 1 and 2, which says, and after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and it's become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Now the angel there in Revelation 18 is evidently ranked higher than the one seen here in Revelation 14:8 that is speaking. Okay, moving on. What does this angel say? He says, Babylon. Now here the Revelation Online commentary says, Babylon can be used one of two ways, literally and figuratively. Now some futurists have argued for the literal city of Babylon. Preterists have argued for Jerusalem, while others argue for Rome. Now this issue, beloved, will be discussed more in detail in Revelation 17 and 18 at great length. Now, where judgment is going to come upon religious Babylon in chapter 17, and then in Revelation chapter 18, judgment will come upon the commercial Babylon. But that doesn't mean I'm just going to leave this alone and skip over it. Now, McGee rightly says, however, you must be able to find a copy of this online. McGee says there is a book entitled The Two Babylon by Alexander Hislop. Hislop is spelled H-I-S-L-O-P, which you ought to read. It is especially pertinent in these days in which you and I live. Let me add in something here. Of course, there is much material you'll need to look over because it is Hislop's own thoughts instead of historical truth. So as with anything, beloved, chew up the meat and spit out the bone. All right, moving on. McGee continues, it reveals that Babylon has been Satan's headquarters and is the place where idolatry began. Semiramis was the wife of Nimrod, and some scholars think that she was his mother and that she married her own son. She was the queen of Babel, which later became Babylon. And she devised a nice little story, beginning a whole system of idolatry in which she came out of an egg in the Euphrates River. She cracked the shell and stepped out fully grown. So the worship of Semiramis introduced the female principle in the deity. And that reveals that Babylon was the fountainhead of false religions, end quote. You can go back to Genesis 10, 8 through 10, you can see the beginning of Babylon. Now, as such, Babylon throughout the Bible is intertwined with the city and the false religion there. There are many prophecies, beloved, in the Old Testament that were not fulfilled in 586 A.D. when Babylon fell to the Medo-Persian Empire. Look back at Isaiah 13, verses 5 and 6, and also verse 19. Also Isaiah 14, verses 4 and 5, and also verse 22. Now also take a look at Isaiah 21, verse 9. And you see by way of application what I mean. It says, "And behold, here cometh a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen. And he answered and said, Babylon is fallen, and all the graven images of her gods he hath broken unto the ground." See? Even there in the Old Testament, the physical city and the religious aspect are intertwined together. Now, what does he say about Babylon here in Revelation 14:8? He says, "Babylon is fallen, is fallen." Note when it is stated twice that this refers to emphasis. It is the ancient method of underlining it and drawing attention to it. Furthermore, when spoken of prophetically, it points to the sureness of the prophecy or statement that it is going to happen. In other words, God has decreed this is going to happen and it will happen. So he says, Babylon has fallen, is fallen, that great city. So specifically, we see that this Babylon being referred to here at this point is the city. But the condemnation is coming due to the connection with the spiritual or idolatrous Babylon, as in the false religion. But one thing we ought to take away from this is that Babylon, the city, will be literally rebuilt. Of course, some say, well, this speaks of Jerusalem or Rome. When the context is speaking clearly here, we have to accept, beloved, the plain literal sense of Scripture. Besides, some say, well, in Revelation 17, it speaks of having seven mountains, and that must refer to Rome's seven hills. Well, there's a problem with that. Number one, a mountain is not a hill. And number two, that's not what the Bible teaches there. For Revelation 17:9 says, "And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth." So much for symbolizing Babylon as Rome. Furthermore, John R. Rice says, "Rome is never called Babylon. It was to the dispersed of Israel in the literal country of Babylon to whom Peter preached and from which he sent greeting in 2 Peter 5:13. Peter was never at Rome. He was not mentioned in the 28 persons and families addressed in Romans 16. He did not meet Paul there when Paul came in Acts 28. He was not there when Paul wrote his farewell in 2 Timothy 4 and said, "Only Luke is with me." So much for the Catholics saying that Peter was their first pope. Now, in recent years, Babylon has been rebuilt as a tourist attraction. Back in 1983, it started with Saddam Hussein having bricks made and inscribed with his name placed upon 2,500-year-old bricks that were inscribed with the name of Nebuchadnezzar. An article published in April 2006 stated that UN officials and Iraqi leaders have plans to restore Babylon, making it into a cultural center. In May 2009, the provincial government of Babil reopened the site to tourism. But it's not going to be just a cultural center according to the Bible. If our understanding is true, beloved, in that the Americas are going to be destroyed and wiped out, then of course the economic center and so forth will need to be transferred, and what better place to go than to a great historic Islamic city? Since the Antichrist, by our understanding, will be a Muslim who will have left Islam. So by this point in the tribulation, it will no doubt be like New York City once was. It will be a sprawling metropolis and the center of financial activity. So it says, Babylon is fallen, that great city. Next point, be called. Now here's why the judgment's going to come. Because why? She made all nations. So Babylon's influence extends to all nations, thus pointing to this city being the cultural, political, religious, commercial, and global center and capital of the world. What did she make all nations do? Drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now McGee says, notice what the Old Testament prophets have said about it. Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine, therefore the nations are mad. Jeremiah 51:7. If you could get away far enough and look back at this earth, I'm of the opinion that you would be disappointed in mankind and in the nations of the world. Then in the prophecy of Isaiah we read the following, "And I will punish the world for their evil and for the wicked, and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible." Isaiah 13:11. This brings down the wrath of God upon the world. Look at Jeremiah 25:15-26. It is interesting to note, beloved, that this wine is called the wine of the wrath of her fornication. It is an act of willful, knowing rebellion against the Lord, and it brings up the images of Romans 1:32, which says, "Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." So these folks will willfully engage in her fornication, and they will do it having been summoned by the satanic powers that are in Babylon. So the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now, the word fornication does not bear the literal meaning. The word behind fornication is porneia, G4202, and it literally refers to any sexual activity not within the bounds of marriage. But another meaning of that can include adultery and incest, but when you take it as a symbolic meaning, it points to idolatry. And that's what happened. Because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. In other words, Babylon is going to be the economic, political, legal, etc. center of the world, but it's also going to be the home of the false religion and of idolatry. And so it is, beloved, that Babylon is going to be judged because, number one, it is the seat of the beast. Number two, because it will be the seat of idolatry and the place where the false religion is headquartered. All right, that wraps it up here. Again, this is kind of a short lesson. We have to be careful about how long we go because we got to make sure we're ready to go out for our revival services. Well, this will wrap up Q&A. I mean, not Q&A. That's what we're normally used to on Wednesday nights. But rather, this will wrap up our Revelation study for this evening. So we'll go ahead and dismiss. And then next lesson, tomorrow night, Lesson 133, we'll be looking at the judgment upon the mark wearer. All right, let's bow our heads and we'll go to the Lord in prayer right after I stop this from recording.